Log Talk Radio.
Hi, good afternoon, good morning. Somewhere it's good morning and somewhere it's good afternoon. You have correctly surfed into Awakenings, the place where the converging flow is happening and people are waking up more and more. And also those that are already awake and living awake are sharing their understanding, their insight online via the chat room, calling in, just sharing their presence. And already we have people that are coming in, so it's great in the chat room. This really is a place for everyone, and I've said that before. It's, you know, everyone makes the show, the program. It's about our unfolding collectively as well as individually. Those of you that are just tuning in right now, and perhaps you haven't listened to Awakenings before, you can call in at 347-539-5122, and that's if you have any questions. A little bit later, we will have a guest. We'll jump into that in just a little bit. And Awakenings airs every Wednesday, 12 to 1, actually 12 to 1:30, and Friday, 12 to 1:30. And then there's a replay on cosmicdimensions.com also, as well as, obviously, as you know, iTunes. You can get the archives, Odeon and Podcast Alley, just to name a few. So, or Blog Talk Radio, if you happen to need to leave early or you missed this, come back. Let's see, I'm here sketching. Oh, great. Hi, Gracie. You're sketching. Oh, that's great. Okay. I love it. You know, when you bring up sketching, I'm thinking Gracie's talking about art, which kind of dovetails into what I wanted to talk about a little bit before our guest comes on the air, before I call her, is that a couple of weeks ago, which a lot of people had been really tuning into the 2012 when I was talking about the physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual changes, and I got quite a few emails and calls. So I wanted to share a little bit about what I've been receiving, as well as give a little bit of perhaps, you know, suggestions, and then also definitely into anybody else's input online or that's in the chat room. If you have any input into some of the changes that are happening in your life and how they're manifesting. When I talked about 2012 and the changes and how it's affecting you, I did touch upon the five-pointed star, which is the upward triangle and the inverted triangle, which is symbolizing as above, so below, as within, as without. It's a very, very strong and focused metaphysical tool. It's also used to align to the light body. Those of you that also listen to Paranormal 101, Stephen has it as his icon or his image also. But it is us. It is you have to remember, in these shiftings and changing, it doesn't mean that something new particularly is happening to us. We're just accessing or expanding into a fuller awareness or reality that's always there, but perhaps we haven't been feeling on this density, if you will. All right, totally right, Chad, the pentacle. And the thing is, speaking of, because Chad wrote the pentacle, so many people think that's like a, you know, witchcraft or it's such an old metaphysical tool. It really means bringing that spiritual understanding and awareness and also the subtle energy of the all that is that we are into the material plane, and but also that the material plane is of that also. So they're both one and the same. But it can be used for some amazing ritual and ceremony to ground energy. However, it's really just about the light and energy that we all are, is basically what that symbol is about. So what I want to start doing, and it's already really started, but kind of I wanted to share a little bit with all of you, is that we're going to be touching on this. Today we have someone that's going to actually be talking more about the physical, as well as a bit of the material, because what's needing to happen in the shifts and change for the activation as well as acceleration that's happening to prepare for the turning point of 2012, the converging flow, which is out of the harmonic convergence. So what we're all having, we're coming in this converging flow, is also a, it's an out picturing or manifestation of the harmonic convergence, when the harmonizing, the resonant fields of all of us and the all that is, was more harmonized. Now from that harmonization, we're at a different actualization point, if you will. And that actualization point is also an accelerating point and a, you know, activating. So it's activating and accelerating continually. And that's why many of you, some of you have been emailing me not being able to sleep. Some of you sleeping a lot, and you know, and I say if you're sleeping a lot, go with it. Keep a journal of what you're experiencing. But if you're sleeping a lot of times you're doing what we call interplane or other dimensional work, or you're being worked upon. So make no mistake that the physical body, as well as the mental mind, the mental body, if you will, is being prepared. There's a up-leveling that's going on a cellular level and an energetic level. So it all comprises energy, right? But on the cellular level, the encoding that's taking place, and for some, decoding. So it's a little bit of both. As we decode, then we get to encode something new. It's kind of like clearing out your hard drive. You know, when it gets too bogged down, then you begin to put new, you can put new programs in. So that's what's happening. But it's also happening on a physical level. Friday, we're going to have a medical intuitive who works with shifting patterns on the physical body, but also mental, emotional. So this is really important as we have this, you know, accelerating and activating happening, that you're clearing those belief systems. You know, my transforming fear into creativity is an amazing tool or CD to be able to shift the patterns, because you can't get rid of fear. People that are talking about fear, getting rid of the fear, you can't get rid of fear. It's an energy. It's simply an emotion, energy in motion. But you can transmute it. You can requalify the energy. You can use the energy of fear. You can unstick it. You can unstick energy of depression or apathy, anger. You can use all that energy, but you can't get rid of it. You know, that's actually a metaphysical, in, you know, and per the law of physics, nothing in the universe leaves. It changes form. So once you start learning these principles, the game gets more fun, you know, because you're not getting rid of anything. And definitely you're not getting rid of your true essence. We're just talking about patterns of relating, or perhaps preparing the physical body, but not getting rid of. You're perfectly, you know, everyone is, no matter what our flaws are, we are perfectly whole, perfect, complete as we are, but we're just getting rid of conditioned response patterns. And Chad is saying evolution. Yeah, exactly. We're evolving to a stage, you know, and the evolution keeps going on and on, so we're just facilitating that evolution, you know. The only difference, in a sense, between us perhaps and animal beings is that it just happens to them naturally. We have reflecting consciousness, where we get to reflect on how am I going to shift, how am I going to change. What, you know, we have an ego, so we have preferences. You know, everybody likes to do things a little bit differently, shift a little bit differently. Everyone has different, you know, proclivities or different approaches. So, but we get to be in the shift and in the change. It's happening to us. We're watching it and aware of it, and we're also facilitating it. So, again, those of you that emailed me, absolutely, you know, take note, you know, if your sleep patterns are messed up, sleeping more, not being able to sleep enough, you know, that is definitely a symptom of the activation and acceleration that's taking place, preparing for the gateway portal of light that's coming this November, December. So this is just a taste of the energy. The energy will be even more intense November and December. So we're really having to consciously, you know, in a proactive way, prepare. So another thing that I wanted to touch on is that a lot of people are opening up more to their gifts. And there's perhaps, you know, sometimes out of the old Piscean area of the lower expansion or vibration of that is the idea of self-sacrifice. And, the, you know, in between last week when we did the 2012, the changes, how is it affecting you, and today, I also facilitated a workshop, and I had some people asking me, you know, I want to do readings, as well as I've had people, you know, sign in the through Blog Talk and email me, you know, I want to help people. I want to heal. You know, I want to also receive money from this. Is there something wrong with this? And what I will say, no, number one, I cannot judge. No, your gifts, your talents, whether you're a, you know, an artist, a graphic artist, a, you know, a pianist, a guitar player, a Reiki master, a healer, a nutritionist, a channeler, a psychic, a secretary, whether you're an amazing teacher and you have a gift for teaching little children, whether you're an astrologer and you have an amazing gift for helping that way, those innate talents and gifts that you, some of you are going to develop more fully, there is an aspect of exchange to that. What I would just say is, in this coming new age that we're ushering in, that we're, that's happening now, and that we're all a part of, is that the old rules of, you know, it has something, the barter, the exchange has to be monetary, is pretty much kind of, you know, I would say out the window. So just be open to how your abundance comes to you. It may be through connecting. It may be through a wonderful relationship. It may be through networking and meeting new like-minded individuals. It may be by, you know, if you're a massage therapist, somebody's massaging you and you're massaging them. It may be, you know, by mentoring with somebody or new gifts, or maybe apples or oranges. It may be somebody bringing you, you know, an amazing, you know, dish. The other day, my speaking of massage, my massage therapist who's, any of you in the L.A. area, meet me at Lamai Thai. She is amazing. But she's been bringing me these amazing pad Thai dishes, and then she brought me this spring roll. It's amazing. But we're all to open up to the energy exchange. There is a wonderful exchange of energy on this planet and on this universe, and one way is through monetary exchange. So if that's what you're needing, you know, by all means, if you want to actualize your gifts, your talents, and be of service, be open to that the abundance can come, and if it does come in money or a monetary form, that there's nothing, quote-unquote, wrong with that. In fact, you know, if you know, there's an old saying in the sutras, the Hindu philosophy, that poverty consciousness is just focusing an over focus on money, whether not to have it or to have it. It still is coming from a poverty consciousness. So the people that are saying, well, this is wrong, or you shouldn't charge for this, or this isn't right, that poverty consciousness, it's still the same polarity or same level as someone that's operating from greed. There's really no difference. It's just different forms, if you will, or different aspects of the same energetic plane or energetic field. So I wanted to touch on that because I did get some people emailing me through Blog Talk as well as in the seminar that I did, because a lot of people, their light workers, are opening up and saying, you know what, I really want to do this, but I want to, you know, I want to have an abundant life doing what I love to do. And that's what we're here to do. We're here to actualize us. We are God expressing through us as us. So we are meant to have, you know, abundance, and evolution means saying the abundance within me. Yes, beautiful, perfect, Evolution Muse. Yeah, focus on the abundance. Years ago, I don't know, in the early 90s, when one of the times that I lived in Europe, was I worked with an amazing mentor, and all the abundance work that we did, I studied Jungian psychology and spiritual healing, and we did a lot of workshops, goddess workshops, a lot of manifestation. I started using the mind mapping and dreamscape or vision board, and she always said, never ask for something specific. Don't ask for money. Ask for abundance, because the universe works abundantly, and abundance means that all your needs are met, that you have more than enough. So when we're focusing only on the monetary, then we're not seeing all the wonderful gifts that we're receiving all around us. But if we open to all the wonderful gifts that we're receiving, all the wonderful connectings, you know, even right here on, you know, Blog Talk Radio, right here, Aware Talk Radio, you know, Paranormal 101, awakenings, of course, there's this wonderful converging flow that's happening, and this is abundance. This is a huge part of abundance, is that converging flow. So it's not about the money, having it or not having it. The money is a form of energy exchange, but it's just one form. And so as we're moving more and more into this accelerated living and living in this multidimensional reality, multidimensional universe, we become more aware that everything is an energy exchange. Everything is an exchange of energy. Everything is energy. So we don't look just for one energy exchange. As I share and I give out and I feel a wonderful connection, I receive that back. Just right now, we can all, yeah, evolution, a plethora of mediums. Yeah, let's just connect in with that right now. Just bring your awareness to the crown chakra, the top of the head, and just as you're breathing in, just connect in to your physical body. As you breathe out, just feel the subtle energy around you. And now bring that energy, that awareness to the heart chakra, so you're feeling your heart opening. And you begin to connect with everyone in the chat room, everyone that's listening remotely by the click to listen, everyone that's listening online. You begin to open to that. And that's what we're talking about. We're talking about this converging flow, this energetic connecting. That's why you feel that feeling when you come here. We connect in and feel that energy that is us and honor that. Now, we do have a caller 530-966. If you'll just hold on, we'll be getting to calls. I can feel that connecting flow from everyone. And that's what we're talking about, living more by the subtle energy. Oh, thank you, Teresa, and so it is. Amen. We can feel that. Yeah, you've got to change that, as Teresa is saying, that expectation or belief what is abundance on a deeper level. Yes. Yes. And Chad is saying, every skin knee is a blessing, the scab is a lesson, the scars are the wisdom. Whoa, Chad, amazing. I think that's because he had the Cahill Gibran's cousin on, Chad, the other day. So your inner mystic and poet is coming out, shining. So today we're going to be connecting, again, on the physical and the body-mind, if you will, connection. Our guest that is coming on, that I'm going to be calling in a minute, amazing woman, very powerful, very gifted. She is the founder and director of Creative Nutrition and Wellness. And it's a preventative holistic health care facility. She also has some programs for children, organic programs for children and preschoolers. She is a dietitian. She is a nutritionist, and she also, which I'm kind of interested to find out more about, also does counseling, but all to see where people's needs are at, but also uses this advanced form of applied kinesiology called QRA. So I'm really kind of interested in tapping into her knowledge about all of this. She really works with detecting and treating nutritional deficiencies and imbalances, as well as detoxing. So one of the reasons, because a lot of people have been getting called to actually start detoxing, and caller 530, haven't forgotten about you, but we're going to be calling Julie right now. And you may find the need that you want to change your diet up a bit, or you may, or you know, I don't mean diet like losing weight or something, you know, that may be it too, but you may want to be changing how you're eating or your physical routine. So we're going to be talking to Julie a bit about that, as well as find out about her path and process in all of this. Let's see. And Teresa's talking about looking within, connecting with what you feel, asking, bringing in only the highest. I like that. That's a wonderful affirmation. Okay.
Hi, I can't get to your call right now, but please leave a message.
That's right, Julie.
Thanks for calling.
You're very welcome that you're calling.
Please record your message.
When
you have finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options.
Okay, well, we'll try her back. No reason not to. Not sure what happened with that. Okay, I'm going to check and see if this caller is waiting to talk to Julie or if has another question. Hi, 530-966, you're on the air.
Hi, I'm calling to find out what type of applied kinesiology Julie uses with her clients.
Oh, you do. Wonderful. Can you hold on a bit? Because I actually called her and the, which is so strange, I got her machine, and this is the number I'm to call her at. So do you mind holding on for another minute or so?
No problem.
Okay, great. Wonderful Mercury retrograde, as these things do happen when you least expect them to happen. So, this QRA, I mean, that really kind of interests me. Let's see. Well, she said she's waiting for me to call. I'm calling you, and your machine went on, so now I'm emailing. Okay. It's funny, a friend of mine was listening, and I'd also sent her an email because she was going to call in when we had the animal communicator on. And she says, afterwards, she says, how did you, you emailed me while you were talking to people on Blog Talk and doing readings. How did you do that? And I said, I just did. I was in the flow, and that's what happened. So I'm going to try her another number that I have for her, and let's just see what's happening there. I can't believe I'm so curious about, because I've never heard of the type of kinesiology that she does, and maybe this caller has some insight also. I didn't know there were various forms. I thought only one. But you learn something new all the time. Okay, so we're going to try another. Or maybe she just stepped away from the phone. Okay, let's see. Julie? Try on another.
We're sorry. You have reached a number that has been disconnected or is no longer in service.
That is interesting. Okay.
If you feel you have reached this recording in error, please check the area code and the number.
Hi, Gracie. Welcome back.
In.
Okay, let's try her again on her other, the number that she gave me, the original number. Maybe she will answer. I just got an email from her saying that she was waiting by the phone. But I did not. We did call, and I've got confirmation from the listeners that we've been calling her on the number that she's to be at.
Hi, I can't get your call right now, but please leave a message. Thanks for calling.
At the tone, please record your message. When you have finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options.
Okay, everyone, that's interesting. So she's not, let's see if she emails me back again. Let's see, let's try work then. With all of this planes, trains, automobiles, texting, I'm going to try one more number that I have. It says work number, and let's see if that is, she gave me her cell phone number, so maybe she'll call into the show. Let's see. Okay, let's try again. And maybe third time is a charm. Okay. Yeah, it is wild. Isn't that Teresa? It is wild.
Wait, have you seen the clock ticking?
Nicole, this is Michelle Miche with Awakenings. We've been trying to reach Julie. We're on the air with Awakenings. She gave us the cell phone number, and we've been calling, and she's not there.
Oh, okay.
Well, she's not here either. Okay, let me.
But I just got an email from her, stating that she's waiting for my call, and I keep calling her.
Are you sure? What's the number that you have?
Okay, let's see. I have. Go back to the 245 number.
Mhm. Yeah.
245. Well, I don't want to give the whole thing because we're live on air.
I
she'll have all these.
Well, can I call her and call you back?
Or why don't you have her call into the show? Because we have one
okay.
caller waiting to ask her question, so
sure.
it'd probably be better for her to call into the show.
How does she call in? What's the number?
347.
347.
539.
539.
5122. And we've called like three times, so.
Okay,
anyway.
I will call her right away.
Okay, great. Thank
okay.
you. All right. At least we got somebody.
Absolutely.
Have a great day,
okay.
Nicole.
You
okay.
too.
All right.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, very interesting. All right, so, hey, Vina Blue. Nina, how are you? Okay, so sorry about that I had to kind of disappear for a little bit there, but very strange, and then I looked over at my email, and she's emailing me saying that I thought you were going to call me at 12:15, 12:20, which I did, and unless her phone is actually muted, which I've done that before. And, I called you. And she's telling me that the number is the one that I've been calling. So we'll try one more time. I don't know why she's not hearing it. I guess there's a first time for everything. This is my first time with this happening. So this is another, Chad, does this count as a lesson? A scab, or is this a scab, or what is this? Okay, here she calls. Okay. All right. But now I'm starting to call her, so she's.
What do I have
Julie?
To hit?
Julie.
Yes. Michelle?
Well, we've been calling you. Yeah. We've called you like
I don't know. I don't know what phone number you have. I've been sitting by my telephone and hasn't rang once. I've been emailing you saying, please call me. Going on.
No, it's the same number that you gave me.
It's,
that,
I don't
that you
know
called.
What.
Yeah. Anyway, Mercury retrograde, but you're here. That's fine. We got to meet your lovely assistant, Nicole. She was very nice.
Okay.
Very professional.
Okay,
she should get a raise. She handled it well. Her first debut on radio. She did very well.
Thank you, Nicole. I don't know what, I guess, Mercury retrograde, because I didn't
yeah.
for the phone. 30 minutes.
Yeah, it was strange. We called, and then I guess your home number changed. I called, yeah, the work. But anyway, we got you here. There she is, and we've got some amazing listeners that are tuned in. And first of all, we do have a question. So we're going to just kind of go a little backwards, because I wanted to ask a little bit of how you got into what the, your field a bit. Because I don't know that, and I'm naturally nosy. I want to kind of dive into that. But before, we already have a caller who also does a type of kinesiology and had a question for you in regards to that. So you're kind of ready to jump in?
Yeah, I'm ready. Can you hear me loud and clear? Are we good?
I can. We are good. We're on the
okay.
air. Okay. Okay. Caller 530-966. You're on the air with Awakenings and Julie Eltman. From Creative Nutrition and Wellness is on the air also. What's your name?
My name is Kim.
Kim, okay. And if you can either turn your phone up a little bit or just point your, make sure that you're speaking right into the phone. It's a little low. Kim, so you had a question for Julie. She's here.
Yes, Julie. I'm calling. I'm curious as to what type of applied kinesiology you use and how you use it with your clients regarding nutrition?
Well, the form of kinesiology that I primarily use is called QRA, or quantum reflex analysis. I have been trained in one other type and don't really use it so much anymore, called NAT. And
oh,
QRA
I heard about
seems
NAT.
To, What's that?
When you, can you explain both of them? After, because I'm aware of NAT, but I'm not aware, I'm not familiar with QRA. Do you mind going into the similarities or differences?
Not at all. I believe that all kinesiology is very similar. It's based on some type of a similar system as the lie detector test is how I usually explain it. Your body just knows. And when, you know, when somebody's lying and the machine goes off and goes crazy, it's the same type of result that we get when we touch the body. And the first book that was written about kinesiology was called Touch for Health. And that came out in the early 70s. And there were a few different people that were pioneers in that. And basically, it's just if you ask the body what the body needs or what it doesn't need, it tells you pretty clearly. So the NAT, they use primarily the arm. People have seen the arm straight out to the side, and they push your hand down and see if it goes all the way down or if it holds up strong in the air. When you are holding, let's say, a food, so if you want to know if somebody's allergic to wheat and you give them either some wheat grains or a piece of wheat bread and they put their arm straight out to the side, you as the practitioner or somebody's friend can push the hand down and see if the arm holds up in the air or if it pushes all the way down by your side. Like the person just has absolutely no strength when they are allergic to wheat or when they have a sensitivity to it or when it's actually just that wheat makes this person weak. So if you think of yourself as a battery, everything that you come in contact with either strengthens you and charges you or it drains you and weakens you. So when you have foods or vitamins or skincare products or anything in your energy field, so within a small radius right around your body or on your body, it may actually make your hand drop all the way down to your side and make you weak, or it may stay straight up in the air and be strong. And the NAT principle, they use a lot with the hand and the arm. In QRA, there's a few other differences, but we use an O-ring. So it's just like a mudra in yoga.
I use an O-ring. I didn't know that was part of QRA. So is that Eastern? Is that East? Because I learned the O-ring from a shiatsu practitioner.
Yeah, the O-ring actually comes from a Japanese doctor, Dr. Omara. And the reason, so it has been in medical journals. It's just not been in New England Journal or JAMA. That's why it's not really so talked about or approved in the medical world. But so I believe it came from more of an Eastern place, but QRA has been put together by Dr. Marshall, who's right here in the United States.
Okay.
He developed QRA, and what he has done is he reads a lot of old Egyptian texts and what our ancestors did, and he just put it all together. And Dr. Fritz Albert Popp was also the founder or the forerunner in the quantum energy arena. So Dr. Marshall has used a lot of Dr. Popp's research to put the QRA. So in QRA, we use the O-ring because it is medically somewhat accepted because it's been published in journals. And when someone uses the hand out to the side and the arm, the practitioners may use it. People can be really strong and they can muscle it out. And with the fingers, it's much harder to muscle it out. You can find a finger that it really just holds together energetically, or it really just weakens energetically.
Mm.
Does that answer your question, or do you have more specific questions about that, Kim?
No, that I was just curious if you use it specifically for the nutrition component, or if you dealt with any of the emotional side using the same technique.
Yes, that's actually a great question. I use it for both. People are coming to me or to my practice primarily for nutrition. However, as we're helping people with some of their emotional and some of their serious health problems, we are getting more and more people coming for the health aspect. So we do use it for both. If it's just a nutritional type of patient, we are using it to detect nutritional deficiencies and finding which vitamins or nutrients they actually need to get their body stronger and to get their body to heal. And for the emotional component, sometimes what we're finding is that no matter how many nutrients we give somebody, they're not going to heal unless they get rid of their emotional blockages. And we use many different things. I refer many people to Michelle or other types of practitioners that do more spiritual healing. I refer them to yoga, all other types of practices, craniosacral work, something that'll help knock them or shake them up a little bit and get them to become more aware of their emotional problems, because a lot of people are not even aware of their blockages. And we also use something called the BRT. It's a biofeedback repolarization tool, and we can use it, it's an energy tool, and we can use it for emotional therapy as well. It's basically volcanic ash that has been put together in this small quartz, Swiss quartz crystal jar, and when you bring it near the body, it pulls Schumann waves from the earth right through the person's body, so it gives them the sensation that they just did like 20 hours of yoga or 20 hours of acupuncture or a handful of sessions with someone like Michelle or tons of meditation. It turns all of the meridians on in 20 seconds, and it works on the subconscious level where it actually brings things into the conscious level. So people, when they use this tool, it actually just helps them start to heal their emotional stuff without them having to go to thousands of hours of therapy or without them having to dig deep within themselves to find what's going on. It comes right into the forefront of their mind, and it sort of forces them to deal with it. So we do use it with both. With our nutritional clients, I don't jump out with the BRT tool right away because they're not necessarily ready for that. But we do have patients that don't come back to us and follow up because we really can't help them nutritionally until they start to work and heal their emotional issues.
Well, I'm so glad to hear you saying that because I, you know, those people that have been tuning in and listening here, I'm a big proponent of that. And especially, you know, these preparation for the 2012 and beyond and the energy intensification, people really waking up, what blocks it, the awakening, and or what makes it difficult or problematic is the emotional body, that people have emotional issues that they haven't handled. And, you know, it's interesting. We were just, I don't know if you were tuned in, Julie, but we were just talking about that. I touched upon that, you know, the mental, the emotional, the physical. They really are one and the same. I mean, we separate them out to focus on, but one, do you find one affects the other also, right? I mean, the physical can also affect the emotional.
Absolutely. I feel that whether you work with somebody on their nutritional, their physical, or their spiritual, whether it's, you know, spiritual work or exercise and physical work or, like, the nutritional component, it all crosses over into the other, and it helps them all heal. So when I tell somebody that they're so stressed out and they need to relax, I may suggest to them any number of things, and whichever one makes sense or resonates with them. Do they want to read a book, or do they want to take a bath, or do they want to meditate, or do they want to get a massage? Like, something, it doesn't matter what they do, because all of them are going to help the person heal and get to the same place. So I absolutely agree that it all crosses over. And I did want to also finish answering Kim's question. We use the O-ring to test people with emotional questions as well. So if somebody had, let's say, an example of an abortion, and, you know, they're still having stomach problems or hormonal issues, sometimes there's a blockage because they just didn't realize that they're just not over the fact that they gave up a baby or that they had an abortion, I could actually have them do the O-ring and have them say out loud, I'm okay with the fact that I had an abortion, and see if they test strong or weak with that comment. And something like that, or something on the emotional level, comes up about 100% of the time with cancer, especially breast cancer. It's usually an emotional issue that is really at the root of their problem.
Wow. So now go back, can you scoot back to that, the stuff in the jar, like the ash as the tool?
Yeah, the BRT.
BRT. So is it really like ash, like earth ash, some kind of...
It looks like bath salts or crystals in there, some of, you know, different colors of white and gray and brown or black, and it really is unbelievable. I guess the true human emotion is supposed to be joy, And I use that jar, that little crystal. I bring it near the top of almost every one of my patients' heads at the tail end of their session. And some people break out in tears. Some people break out in happiness. And some people giggle. And some people are like calm. And some people say, wow, I feel like I just drank a bottle of wine. And it, you know, I find that the people that are so close to joy are children. And when they're sad and we bring that near their head, they start to giggle in seconds. It's so instant. And I actually dropped one and it crashed and broke on the floor. This was a few years ago. And my apartment manager at the time had just walked by as that happened. And the guy, I knew the man because he fixed my bathrooms and house. But he walked by, and as soon as that dropped and broke, he told me his entire life story in 5 seconds. My wife left me. She's going through a midlife crisis. I'm about to die of this disease, and my insurance. He just went on and on and on, that it just, like, opened him up like a book in 2 seconds. I have never seen anything like that before. And that I just realized, wow, this is really, really powerful. So it is a great tool. I recommend that everybody has one per household. It's also the kind of thing that if somebody has a physical trauma, an injury to the head, instead of getting MRIs and CAT scans and stuff, that just literally brings the energy right back to where it was supposed to be. So there's no long-term problems down the road. But we use
I want to get with you with that because I have a client in England that just went through that. And this kind of stuff would be right up her alley. Now, where could you get this BRT?
The BRT, you can get it. It's manufactured or put together by Premier Research Labs. So that's the main, that's the manufacturer. I'm sure they have it on their website. We have them on, we have them in our office. I don't believe we have a store on our website at the current time, but people can email in to us and we can ship it to them if they'd like.
Those are the main places.
I'm sure there's some other websites around where people are using Premier Research products and selling them. If you take good care of it, it will be one of yours for the rest of the life. You'll never need another purchase. It lasts forever.
Okay. And you're at creativenutrition.com, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Yes.
So people can reach you there. And the BRT.
Yep, like boy, red, and tall, BRT. It's really phenomenal. Amazing healing comes out of just bringing that near your head.
Oh, so it's not just to bring stuff up. There's actually a healing that does happen from this?
Healing absolutely happens from it. It's we use it as a tool during our consultations or during our QRA sessions. I'll go into that in a moment and explain what QRA actually is since you asked me that and how we use the BRT with that. But when somebody is feeling down or sad, I mean, we use it and they just put it near their head with your feet on the ground so it pulls the energy out of the earth. And instantly you just feel more calm or light or happy. Children love it. They ask their moms, can I use that? Little kids giggle. My son, his very first injury when he was about 1.5, he slipped and fell in the bathtub and started hysterical crying. I took him wet and naked, ran to my night table where I keep mine, and I little clicked him on the head with it, like a little bang on the head, and he went from hysterics of crying to hysterics of laughing in like 1 second, just from that coming near his head. So I've seen little things like that, but actual true healing happens because what it does is it opens up all the meridians and all the channels so that there's no blockages. So the first time that somebody uses it, if they had a surgical scar that had a blockage or they have a digestive issue or they get headaches regularly or their back always hurts, there's probably a blockage somewhere and they could do all the acupuncture they want and it probably feels good each time, but this leaves those channels on and open permanently and in seconds. So it's very much an adjunct therapy. Would you like me to explain the QRA a little, Michelle?
Absolutely. I think everybody's kind of, it's this amazing technology.
It is phenomenal. We have had unbelievable healing in our practice and in our own lives, in all my staff and our families using it. It stands for quantum reflex analysis, and the quantum goes back to the physics and to light waves and sound waves and energy waves and even the waves that travel through
the... Now, Julie, can I interrupt you for 1 second? I want to get to a question because I want you to be able to describe the QRA, but there is a good question in the chat from Teresa. Since this process brings so much up to the surface in a fast way, is someone capable of handling it?
That is a really good point. Not everyone is ready for it. Some people...
How do you know? Buyer beware. How do you know then?
As a practitioner, I try to, the more in tune and aware I become and the more clear I become more intuitive and more somewhat psychic to know a little bit about what is right for my patients. And my clients, I always ask over and over again, you know, what are your goals and what do you really want? Some people, it's interesting, every time they come in, I'll say, well, do you have your little BRT? And they're like, you know what, I should pull that out again. I haven't used it in a long time. And it's probably because maybe it was too much for them the couple of times they've used it. So people have their own intuition or you know, the opposite of that, or fear of the enlightening. And so I have lost patients, I have lost clients by probably going into the QRA or the BRT too early. So, you know, you just, what I usually recommend with people is to write down like 10 of their emotional traumas or issues, if there were that many, and then write down 10 goals that you'd like to see come true. And the rule of thumb is you can work on 3 at a time. So let's say you had this trauma of the abortion that I said earlier, and let's say you also want to find a house that you're going to move into, you know, and then one other thing that you might choose. When you use the crystals over your head, you can use it as a meditative tool, and you can say, I am clear of the abortion, I am clear of the abortion, I am clear of the abortion, and I am going to find a house, this house is coming, here it comes, and, you know, so you can make, it's just like meditating and just like practicing yoga, you're changing the energy of all your cells while that is right over your head, and you're saying it like it's true, so you're changing things. And if you use it for 10 days for types of situations like I just said, that's supposed to be all you need, and then you're over that problem. Like the abortion, I could test somebody with the O-ring and it goes weak when they say I'm clear of the abortion and I'm okay that it happened. And then after they use the BRT for 10 days and tell themselves they're over it, 11 days later, if I test them, most of the time they're strong when I do it. However, they might have had lots of tears and hysterics and other digestive issues or all other things come up during those 10 days. So absolutely, buyer beware. You have to really be ready to you know, face what has happened.
Right. I'm going to interject something. We've got another question, but we will get to the QRA. Because I, too, with some of the work that I do, I mean, it really, I'm an activator and accelerator, so people may not come back. But you have to know, too, Julie, they're going to, at some point to someone else, or they got just what they needed. I really believe, in transpersonal psychology, we call it the mind's protection. On some level, even though it seems a lot, that person can handle it, even though maybe by the hair of their chin, do you know what I mean? But
yeah.
You get what you can on an inner level. Maybe on the ego level, they're not ready to handle it, but the higher self is going, thank God, yippee, let's, you know. And so whether they, you know, maybe they have to pull back, you know, for a week or two or month or years or two, you know, a few years before they come near again, at least there's been that that healing.
Exactly.
Now, that's just my 2 cents.
Great.
But another question. Now, 2 questions. One is there any technique to help them handle what is coming up? One. Where do the crystals come from?
What was the second question? I'm sorry.
let's see, the first one was some technique to help handle, and then where did the actual the crystals come from?
I believe they come from Hawaii, from volcanoes. It is termed ash. And there are, from the same Premier research, there are also many amazing bath products like foot soaks that come from Hawaii and also from the Dead Sea and the Mediterranean. So I believe that they're from the Hawaiian volcanoes. And the techniques that I always try to guide people to is to take a step back and breathe. And that's that downtime that I recommend that everybody has, like, alone time for at least 10 minutes a day where they can just, like, stop from this race of the world that we have and breathe or take a bath or read a book or just be alone and just chill out. And so is that enough of an answer to that question? Or?
Yeah, perfect. Perfect. And then QRA, we're going to get to that. And what is this? Do you know what it stands for, QRA? So I'm putting that in the chat.
It stands for Quantum Reflex Analysis. And I'll try to give you a really short explanation of what that means. So the quantum is like the physics and that whole intangible topic that I think most people stay away from in high school. So it's the light waves, the sound waves. The human body operates on a certain wavelength. So when we put, it's like putting Doritos in your body. We all know it's unhealthy for us because it's not really the same energy as the human body, or like putting diesel in an unleaded car. So the quantum nutrients and the quantum effect is when you take in things that operate or are alive on the same level or energy as the human body. And so the nutrients, the quantum nutrients, because Premier Research, that's their whole thing, is it's all quantum. So the energy of the supplements and of the nutrients are the same as the human body. So the result is magnified, like, intensely. So a very small amount of nutrients does, like, an arsenal of good. So if you were taking a Trader Joe's vitamin C versus a Premier Research vitamin C, there's absolutely no comparison. It's, you know, putting in apples and apples is the Premier Research vitamin C versus, you know, oranges and apples, or, you know, again, like Doritos in the human body is like the Trader Joe's. So there's the quantum part. The reflex part is that we're actually looking for reflexes, and this is the main part of what makes people, what makes QRA really different. So if somebody has, I have a perfect example. Somebody came to me, their main problem is acid reflux. He's been on Zantac and all the reflux products already, but it's not helping him. And when I actually tested him, it was his adrenals reflexing to his stomach. So his adrenals, the adrenals operate with stress and cortisol and adrenaline. So he works in a fast-paced world for his job. Every time his stress gets heightened and his body secretes cortisol, it throws off his stomach and digestive system. So it's a reflex. So we look for the reflex. We look for the root of the problem. Rather than treating his acid reflux, I treated his adrenals, and it made his acid reflux go away. And we look at scars, physical scars and physical trauma sites. So a hugest one that I see over and over and over again is C-section scars and episiotomy scars or tears or cuts. And because these are at the root chakra and because of all of the stuff that comes along with bringing a life into the world, it's so emotional and it's so tiresome and nutrient depleting, and people are starving themselves and eating and they're nursing. And those scars do not heal. And they reflex to the kidneys, to the digestive system, to the belly, to the thighs, like everywhere that women complain about all of their excess fat. A lot of time it is coming from a C-section or an episiotomy scar, whether their children are 1 or 30. I see it over and over and over again. So the way I look for the reflex, I do my analysis on the body with the kinesiology and the QRA, and then when I'm all finished, I use the BRT at the top of their head, and this makes every meridian strong. So the whole body is perfect. Nothing tests weak anymore. And then we can go to the, let's say, a C-section scar, and I have the person tap on it. And that tap could come, it's a synonym for stress. So whether the person is doing yoga and they stretch their belly long, or if they rub it, or if they're just stressed out, if they just have stress in their body, the C-section scar will go weak just from that tap. And now I look anywhere else in the body that is now testing weak, and those are the places that are the reflex from the C-section is going to. Does that make sense? So if I BRT somebody and their whole body tests strong, so their stomach is strong, their kidneys are strong, their adrenals and their head are strong, and then we do a little tapping on the C-section scar, and then we go and we see if now they have a stomach is weak, their head is weak, their kidneys are weak. Now I know that their head problems and their headaches or their digestive problems or constipation or their waking up in the middle of the night to pee problems or their excessive going to the bathroom problems really are not, those are not the problems. The problem is the C-section scar. And it may be nutrient depleted. It maybe has infection in it. You know, we always hear when you get a cut, wash it so it doesn't get infection, but we never know if it really has infection in there. So we do some treatments to the C-section scar, topical treatments, different oils or Medi body packs or such, energy work, is that the, you know, it's in a main chakra area as well. And now you get the C-section to test strong. So you're once then you still work on the head and the stomach and the kidneys. You do any nutrients or meditations or any healings you need for those areas, but your problems will go away permanently because you've treated the scar. If you did not find the reflex, you could treat the head, treat the stomach, treat the kidneys, and they'll get better, but in 6 months or a year or 2 years, they'll come back because you did not treat the root of the problem. And this is where quantum reflex analysis is very different and way more advanced than any other method of kinesiology or treatment or even any other products that I've heard of or used in the past. Don't even compare. Is that clear?
Yeah. Kim, what do you think?
I think it's great.
Are you excited now? You're going to get another technique under your belt?
Yeah, it really is phenomenal. The results are amazing. There's no going backwards. Like when you stop taking this, after you treat something and it's strong and better, it doesn't go backwards. You only move forward. It doesn't come back again if you do it thoroughly in the right way. And again, it's, you know, when people are ready for all of that. Some people, when I tell them that and I tap the scar and they see their head goes up, they're like, that doesn't make any sense to me and I don't get it. And some people don't get it, and it doesn't make sense, but they'll do everything I tell them. And some people will never come back. And it really depends when the person is ready. It, as you said, Michelle, there's some sort of healing that happens to them, and their body's like, thank goodness, somewhere, or their spirit's like, thank goodness. But, you know, they, you know.
I had a lady once I worked with that. She kept scheduling appointments and unscheduling, and then she said, I knew of you before. She said, I used to drive by. It took me 6 months to make an appointment. She'd drive around, like I had a home office. She'd drive around my house. I had no clue. I met her once or twice. She came once for just something very short, small. And then she said she really wanted to do work with me. And she told me later, she said, I wasn't ready. She goes, I just knew that if I worked with you, that it would be a catalyst for change I wasn't ready for. So she, for 6 months, she, the closest she could get was driving around.
That's
so
great.
I understand, Julie. I understand. But, you know, it's funny. We talk about it. But, you know, we all do it on some level. You know, we all kind of at some level just, you know, kind of want to do something or make a change or incorporate something. But what does that mean? You know, are we ready to give up the other stuff that comes, you know, with it, which, you know, these techniques I think are just amazing also because of the times that we're in. It's really requiring this up-leveling. And, you know, what I find exciting about this, Julie and everyone that's Kim and everyone that's listening, is that I'm not just seeing this from a metaphysical or a body-mind perspective, you know, a holistic health practitioner, you know, perspective. I'm hearing this kind of stuff from scientists or inventors, people that track trends, you know, people that aren't even talking about 2012 or probably don't even care, you know, that and beyond, are saying that we need to start doing things to get our body ready for the mental capacity that's coming in, you know, the way that we're using our mind differently, and how that we have the same body, or not anymore. I feel we're in the shift, and I think everyone can probably, you know, would shake their head. We're different. We're in the middle of this change process. But, you know, you hear a lot of people saying, well, we have the body that we had from the 18th century or from the turn of the century. So it makes sense that we have to update, up-level not only our beliefs, we have to get rid of certain conditioned response patterns, but we have to ready the body to handle the higher mind or processing more quickly, becoming more intuitive, handling more energy. And so that does require, you know, working physically, mentally, and emotionally, obviously to release blockages, find what the, like Julie's talking about, the root, and deal with our physicality, you know. Okay, we have more questions in here. Let's see. Just to scoot back, because Kathy, I know she will forgive me, but it may stay in your cranium, Kathy. I got your back here. The crystals again from the volcanic ash, we're back to the BRT a little bit here.
Okay.
Is volcanic ash anywhere else? And then some of the volcanic areas are kind of off limits or cursed or whatever in that sense. Do you know where they come from, or is there a website I can go to give their exact?
I don't think they really give that exact information out. Okay. I do know that, you know, I've been working with the BRT for about 7 years now, and I work somewhat closely with Dr. Marshall, who he and another one of his cohorts, between them, have about 7 different types of degrees, like they're Oriental medicine, they're clinical nutritionists, they have about 7 of those altogether, acupuncture, et cetera. So I know it took them 20 years of research, and I know they have tons of knowledge behind them, and they don't give away all of their sources, but I do know that Dr. Marshall himself, the way that he evolved all of the QRA and all of the quantum products is through his own near-death experience. I believe he was near-death twice from contaminated nutrients. And the stories that I've heard are that when he finds a raw material that he wants to use, he wants to make sure that it doesn't get tainted and no one touches it or sprays anything on it after. I mean, everything is so pure that he pays people to sleep on the farms overnight for months until it's harvested. Mm-hmm. He pays people to travel with the nutrients till they get to his facility. So this is his thing, and I don't think he gives any of the details away of exactly where anything comes from, because he has his sources and he doesn't want them, you know, to become part of the mass market. So it is a little bit kept under the hat, and all that I know about the BRT is that it's volcanic ash. That's as much as I know.
Because I can multitask, I went to his site, which I have note, paramagnetic and diamagnetic substances, including rare earth minerals sourced from all over the world. It's a proprietary blend, which means, just as Julie's saying, I ain't going to tell you where it came from. Exactly.
From all over the world. You're right, actually. That's what I've heard.
An extraordinary high-spin energy skate. Ooh, I'm going to try this. It's placed in contact with the external meridian. And then he talks something about coral. There's coral minerals are full spectrum, highly ionized minerals from marine coral, guaranteed lead-free. And then talks about a 2.2:1 ratio calcium to magnesium, trace minerals. So basically, it sounds like something tasty to try. Okay, now Teresa just went to your site, Julie, and said that she didn't see anything on the BRT.
You know, we just redid our site within the past month, and I believe we took the shopping cart off the site. If you go into the EMF, like Edward, Mark, Frank section. I don't recall exactly where it is. I could look myself and tell you. We wrote that we do have a lot of EMF products and to inquire within. So the BRT would be one of those. And then we also have, like, protectors for your cell phones and for your computers and things that
My computer.
Yeah.
Yeah, no shopping cart yet either. Now, the other thing is Teresa's asking, can you get the BRT without a consultation, or is it a requirement to have both?
No, you can just buy any of our products from us without a consultation, absolutely. And we ship every day, UPS, all around the country. If you click on the Learn section of our website, there's another tab for EMF, and then it's kind of small.
Oh, electromagnetic, okay.
Yeah. So that whole website section always takes a lot of time. So we were just revising it. We did have it where you could just click on and buy. If you want to just you could do info@creativenutrition.com and just send an email and say, this is what I'd like to purchase. Or our phone number is toll-free. It's 877, the number 5, and the word eat well, 877-5-EAT-WELL. And Nicole is there right now. If you wanted to order something, she could probably ship it right out to you.
Okay, 5E12. Got it. Put it in the chat room. This is
exciting.
I didn't know you had so many goodies. Go ahead.
BRT seems to be such a hot topic. When I did have one of my clients does some similar work to you, Michelle, and when she was in the office and I put the BRT near my head, she was like, wow, I just saw gold rush up your whole body. So that was,
wow.
I don't know, that might, you know, resonate with some of you out there. That's how she saw it.
Okay.
And gold is usually my color. Some people have white light. I usually have gold light. So maybe it would be different for someone else.
Yeah, depending on what somebody's needing and what the balance is, what light energy would be coming in. See, I feel this, as well as all the repatterning work I do, all what we're talking about is working with the subtle energy. And through the etheric field or etheric body, the vibrational medicine, I really feel that is the cutting edge. That's going to be, no offense to regular therapy. I think that'll still be around, but I think people just, working with that higher mind or expanded consciousness, divine mind, higher self, through the subtle energy or intuitive body, it just cuts through so much stuff, It really, you don't have to take years to move through something anymore,
I do think that, obviously everyone's working at their own pace and whatever their reason is. And those people that are ready for it are absolutely ready for more and more and more. Mm-hmm. And then there's those people that are nowhere near ready for that kind of information.
That's true. I keep forgetting because the people that I work with are, but it is true. Everybody's at a different level and also meant to have a different experience or different healing. I mean, healing doesn't always mean that the physical ailment is gone. It's a rebalancing, and depending on what the person is meant to experience on a soul level this lifetime, what they're using as a learning expression or a tool or just an expression in general. So, I agree. I think we can't have the expectation of a specific something is going to happen. Sometimes it does, though.
Yeah, and I find that some people that come to see me really don't care about some of the spiritual parts or don't even really care about the understanding of the testing or how it works. They just want to do whatever I tell them to do. So there's that mm-hmm. level of people as well. They may not go to a yoga class or go to a meditation class or do any of those kinds of things on their own, or they may be afraid of the word meditation or spiritual, but in their own way they do something along those lines. So, mm-hmm. I think that everyone has a little bit of something like that going on for themselves, whether they're aware or not.
Yeah. Well, I know for myself with the work that I do, I just change the language. I mean, if I'm certain places, you can't say meditation or yoga, so it becomes stress reduction or visualization techniques quiet time, relaxation, right? You just change. It's all the same.
It is.
You know, even the word hypnotherapy, some people I've worked with for a long time, they don't, it's all the same, you know, I have to use a different term than that because, you know, that word can be a little scary. So I think it's language, depending on people's filters or where they've come through, they may have, biases.
Right.
You know.
I don't want to do any of that meditative stuff, but if you tell them to do some stress reduction, they're okay with that.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I did a few months ago a workshop on meditation, and I brought in a slideshow with a lot of different images, but images mostly that I like because I made it, put it to music, and I had just given a talk. The seminar, the lecture is that everyone should have their own sacred images, and you know, these are some of mine. And, you know, but everyone should, you know, you make your own, and it's up to you what makes you comfortable or reminds you of going within or feeling connected or relaxed. And after the show, this woman, we're having a discussion, and she says, oh, I don't like any of these images she liked some of them, but some of them she didn't like, more the Eastern. And she said, that makes me uncomfortable, and I wouldn't use that. And I looked and I said, but didn't I just say all that, you know? But she had she said, that bothers me. And so right away she could tune out. And so some people, you know, they tune out when they hear certain words or see certain images rather than just saying, okay, those aren't mine, I'm going to create my own, you know? So I totally understand what you're saying about the language. You kind of got to know who you're, you know, speaking with, I guess, speaking to.
Right. And did you want me to talk a tiny bit about how I got into my field?
Yeah, that would be great.
I think
if any other questions come up, I'll let you know.
I mean, back in high school, I think I just started to get really into fitness and wanting to be healthy. And I started working at a gym, teaching all kinds of aerobics and that kind of stuff. And that led through to college, and somewhere along the line, I was doing some research, and I guess I decided I wanted to be involved in nutrition because it probably had something to do with the fitness. And that led me to a traditional nutrition degree, and I'm a registered dietitian from the American Dietetic Association, but it was very unsatisfying. It really never gave me any information that I really wanted. I really felt that I needed to learn about nutrients and supplements. And maybe, I really don't remember exactly why, maybe it was because I was so into working out and exercising, and we didn't learn anything about supplements at all in a three-year program for nutrition. It was that everyone could take a multivitamin and that was enough, and maybe a little more of a couple of nutrients when you're pregnant or nursing. That was pretty much it. And then I was working in New York City, and through some networking, through some dietitians, found some type of a conference to go to that was all about supplements and functional nutrition, like the way that your body actually functions and all the individual parts and how they're interconnected and the different nutrients that work at different levels of your body, similar to the alternator or the starter and the spark plugs of a car and how it all works together. And that, when I sat in at that conference, I felt like I knew nothing, and I was so intrigued. And that just kept leading to more and more conferences. So none of it is traditional nutrition at all. I mean, the American Dietetic Association is so far behind on what anything like that, what I'm talking about here. This is way ahead of our current times and trends. Mm-hmm. And so that part of it is kind of sad. But for what I'm doing and the functional nutrition aspect, and now, you know, the QRA stuff that we do, and some of it, we use some traditional Western medical tests, but the ones that we use in our practice are not used by current doctors, by medical doctors for the most part, because they just don't even realize that they're there and these tests are available. So all of what I do has always been about 10 years ahead of current trends in nutrition. And so I've always felt I was just one step ahead or maybe a few steps ahead. And, you know, I just kept, everything just kept being a stepping stone for the next thing. And it just led me there. And when I was working in New York City, I was working primarily as a
personal trainer trying to build a nutrition practice at the Chelsea Piers. And one of my bosses invited me to take this workshop that had to do, it was called AIS, Active Isolated Stretching. And I said, you know, I'm not really that into it. I'm really focusing on the nutrition. And that ended up tail spinning into so much more yoga and Pilates for me, which really further enhanced my own awakening and awareness and, you know, body-mind connection. So that was great that I ended up doing that, because that is half of what got me to where I am today. And it just keeps getting better.
I always say when we are able to do something that truly interests us, it's very fulfilling, you know. And, you know, that becomes our vocation, you know, our life work. Now, Julie, we have another question. What's your thought of the more traditional schools? I think you might have touched a little bit. Let's see, I just went back to Teresa. You had the question about the more Western school, nutrition school, as opposed to the more holistic, I guess.
Well, most of the nutritionists that work for me at this point go to more holistic schooling, and then they are schooled by myself. And I have an intern program where I train people and teach them what we do at our facility. So I really don't feel it's necessary to go the traditional route and become a registered dietitian, unless you're really wanting to work in like a school system or I've seen that there's RDs they require at prison systems or in the hospitals. And for me, that is, I did all that already, and that was so unfulfilling for myself. Most of those people are sick, and they don't really care what you're telling them, that they can't eat this or that. Whereas in the holistic nutritional world, you're usually working with people that, like yourself, that are interested in this topic and want to better themselves. And so it's more of an upbeat type of clientele, and people are coming to you out of choice rather than necessity for their lives, and they're ready to make changes. So in terms of the schooling itself, if someone's considering going to school, really, you really have to think hard about what arena do you want to work in. I get a little bit more of attention from magazines and TV or other types of interview things because I have the letters RD after my name. But I think as time goes on, that's really not going to be very important at all anymore.
Especially if you come out with a book. If you come out with a book or something. Yeah. Now, Teresa asking in Seattle, what would it be? Would it be nutritionist? What would you call? Like, what direction could someone go into? Especially because I know Teresa, she has an interest in foods, the types of foods, you know, eating healthy foods and how that changes the body or aids the body. Let's see. And her son is looking for a nutritional personal trainer. Her son is looking at a nutrition personal training, but she'd love to see him go into the holistic instead of traditional. So if somebody wanted to go more into the holistic, what would you suggest? Like, I don't know, if it's a holistic nutritionist. You might have to I know when I first started all this work, I had to do so many, I had to hodgepodge. I had to put it all together because there really wasn't, you know, a transpersonal psychologist, you know, or transpersonal therapist. But, you know, you kind of had to put it all, or a spiritual coach or life spiritual counselor. There really wasn't. Or coaching. There wasn't even really life coaching came from business coaching. So you kind of had to piece it all together. Now there's programs for that. Julie, what would you say to that? Going to more of a holistic nutritionist? Holistic?
Yeah, I've always thought of trying to make up my own word to describe what I do.
Right.
Yeah, because, you know, I have this similar, like, your signature on your email is like, you know, super long, and that's how I feel mine should be if I want to. Because there's no one. There is no one term. So, you know, we call ourselves Creative Nutrition and Wellness because we do a lot of different things. You know, when people ask me these days, I say I'm a holistic nutritionist. I personally never use the word dietitian. It doesn't have as much of a positive, upbeat tempo as nutrition. at least these days, more even like in a preschool, they're talking about healthy nutrition instead of healthy diet. It's just a better word because diet has such a bad connotation.
Yeah.
So some states have laws. You have to be a certified nutritionist or a certified dietitian. Some states actually have separate terms, but for the most part, people just call themselves whatever they want. And in California, we can do that. It's a little bit more lenient here. So I say I'm a holistic nutritionist. Some of the programs that the people that work with me have are certified holistic healthcare practitioner, and then there's holistic nutritionist, and then some of them are certified clinical nutritionists. And there are so many schools right now. There's Clayton has a school, Bridgeport has a school. There's a school in New York City you can do mostly online or on weekends. There's a lot of programs out there now that are growing and growing and growing for the more of the holistic route.
Mm.
Yeah, the American Dietetic Association and the traditional routes are really teaching you a lot more science, like what happens when you eat a piece of food, how it goes through your digestive tract, whereas the holistic programs are teaching you a lot more about working with the vitamins and the herbs and people. So it's a little bit different. I would recommend always to have a little bit of biochemistry in there. That's a horrible word, but...
I'm changing the channel now, Julie.
Biochemistry is a challenging, challenging topic, but it really is what the human body is. So it's helpful to have a little bit of that.
Now, Teresa's not saying, she says she doesn't agree with the, so biochemistry would be our body chemistry. Like, explain that a little bit.
It's, you know, we all know biology and, you know, it's the study of the human body, I guess, but then chemistry is like mixing potions and stuff together. So biochemistry is like a little bit of a combination of the two of those, which is truly, really what the human body is. And I can't say I'm an expert or
measuring. It's just like all the measuring stuff that the dietitians do.
Yeah,
like,
you know, there's
like the minerals and all that.
Exactly. I didn't do that well in my own biochemistry class, but I understand it better now. I just can't really explain what it is that clearly. It's really just a mosh of all of that together.
Now, Teresa's mentioning that, the traditional aspect doesn't show you how vital our food and how important it is, and, like what foods are good for you or what kinds hinder or accelerate the healing process. Now, you do focus on that in your practice, don't you? What foods are best, obviously individually, because you talked about the QRA, but also just in general, what are whole or more, you know, alive or active foods?
Yes. We absolutely focus on that. And that's a big part of everybody's program, regardless if they're interested in the QRA and the testing or not. We definitely focus on more all-natural, whole grains, nature-made, eating some raw foods. We're very practical. We don't emphasize the blood type diet over the metabolic type over the raw food. We kind of use all of those together and each person find what works for them. And what happens is that people that get a little bit healthier and get more intuitive or just like they have their own healing happening, they become more intuitive and more a little psychic about knowing themselves. A woman said to me yesterday, who I've been working with her for about 6 months, and she said, you know, I just cannot, I look at chicken and I cringe. I just have no interest in going near it. And we were, you know, and then when I use foods when I do the QRA testing, and she tested horribly with chicken yesterday. And I said, you just knew. Chicken was just not your friend right now. And that, you know, if
now,
she
Julie,
ate chicken.
Go ahead. I know, because we're winding down, and there's a question about sugar. We've got 5 more minutes. Is sugar that detrimental, or can you have a little bit? We've got that question. What do you think of I'm assuming white sugar, because there's various kinds of sugar.
Right. There, of course, I mean, it really depends on the individual, and it depends on what is going on in your current body. if you are feeling if you're feeling really grounded and great and happy and everything in your life is going great or you're having a great day, a little bit of sugar is probably not going to throw you far off course. But if you're feeling just the opposite, depressed, sad, you have a yeast infection or you're having herpes or stress or anything else going on in your life, sugar could really set you over the edge in the wrong direction. So it really.
Now what about raw sugar or Is that still sugar?
There's about 30 different words that all mean sugar, but the best kinds are the kinds that are more raw and, you know, not processed. So brown sugar, I like to recommend honey or agave to people. We use that a lot more in cooking and with kids if you need to sweeten things. Definitely not high fructose corn syrup or corn syrup. Those are definitely among the more unhealthy kinds. And you're getting sugar in your body if you're eating fruit. You're getting sugar in your body if you're eating any kind of traditional foods. So we're all getting some on a certain level. It just really depends on what, again, is going on in your body. We have a traditional medical test that we do that tells about your insulin and your fructose sensitivity. And fructose is what makes up sugar. So some people truly are very fructose sensitive, and eating sugar is absolutely the wrong thing for them. They're going to get fatter and fatter and puffier and feel horrible and more depressed. So it's
going to... Will she get puffy from sugar?
Absolutely. 1 gram of sugar can hold 3 grams of water. So you can puff up in an hour or overnight and not feel good. And if you have an overgrowth of yeast, which is a current problem for a lot of people because of heavy metals, then the yeast can double in an hour, and the yeast can make you more and more depressed. And every little drop of sugar you have can feed the yeast. So you really have to heal what's going on in your current body, and it changes. So just because sugar might not be good for you at all today, if this is, you know, if one of these people I described is you, if you heal some of the things in your body and you get past this yeast condition, like if you actually treat it and get rid of it, which you can do in as little as a month, then in 2 or 3 months from now, eating a little sugar may be not at all problematic for you. So it really depends on what's going on in your current body, and the whole emotional thing can tie right into it, because if you're going through an emotional trauma or you're healing an emotional trauma, sugar and other things that are make your body weaker are going to make you feel worse, and it's going to make you have a harder time dealing with that trauma, whereas more like brown rice and whole grains and vegetables and oils and avocados and nuts and seeds are going to get you more grounded. Sugar is going to steer you far off course if you have other issues going on. But if you are going to, you know, if you are going to choose sugar, I would say like agave or honey or raw sugar or brown sugar.
Sounds good. Well, we're winding down here. Kathy just registered for the newsletter. A lot of people going to your website. And that is creativenutrition.com, or you can call 1-877-5-EAT-WELL. And we've been talking with Julie Eltman, who's a creative nutrition person. How's that? Because there's a lot, you know, the registered dietitian, but also that practitioner, that quantum healing through that QRA and using the BRT, the body response technique. Julie, thanks so much. We'll have to have you back because we have still more questions that people are putting in the chat, but we're winding out. So we'll set up something at some point to come back and even dive more in depth, if that's okay with you.
I would love to. I'm sorry that we got a rocky start there, but I would love to come and talk more. I did want to just mention also that we have the Great South Bay Group Detox Program, and it's starting tomorrow night for anyone that lives in Los Angeles County. And if you don't live there, you could read about it on our website. We have a personalized one that you could do. We do it in a group environment and in a personal environment, and it's fabulous. And it's like an oil change for your car, but for your digestive system, and it feels great.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Julie Eltman, and thank you, Kim, for calling in, and all of the listeners that were listening and contributing these amazing questions, and more importantly, the amazing energy. Rate the show. I love that. Keeps awakenings up where Kinesa aligned awakenings. And I wish you all a wonderful, wonderful day full of much love and light. And until next time, keep awake.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.